Time and Time Again by Ben Elton. Read by Jot Davis. Historical note. In 1687, Sir Isaac Newton published his Principia, a work generally acknowledged to be the most influential publication in the history of science. In the book, Newton described his three laws of motion and thus revolutionized human understanding of the physical universe. 6 years later, in 1692, Newton suffered a nervous breakdown. The symptoms included insomnia, deep depression, and debilitating paranoia. This crisis in Newton's life is known as his Black Year, a period during which even his closest friends and associates thought he had gone insane. Newton eventually recovered his mental faculties, but had seemingly lost all interest in science. He turned his attention instead to the study of alchemy and the search for hidden meanings in the Bible. In 1696, he became a civil servant, taking an administrative job at the Royal Mint. The world's greatest physicist, mathematician, and natural philosopher was to remain in this position until his death 30 years later. The cause of Newton's breakdown and his subsequent retirement from science was not known during his lifetime and remained a mystery thereafter. Newton's Epitaph by Alexander Pope. Nature and nature's laws lay hid in night. God said, "Let Newton be," and all was light. Chapter 1. In Constantinople, on a bright, chill early morning in June 1914, Hugh Stanton, retired British Army captain and professional adventurer, leant against the railings of the Galata Bridge and stared into the waters below. There was a stiff breeze blowing, and the early light sparkling on the Gunmetal River made the choppy crests twinkle like stars. Stanton half closed his eyes and forgot for a moment that this was the mouth of the Bosphorus, ancient sewer of Byzantium, and imagined instead a heavenly firmament, a faraway galaxy dotted with infinite points of divine light, a gateway to an incandescent oblivion. Opening his eyes wide once more, he saw the river for the poisonous shit soup that it was and turned away. If he ever did decide to kill himself, a bullet would be quicker and a great deal cleaner. The morning traffic creaked and rattled across the newly metalled bridge, and Stanton found his eye focusing on a woman in a burqa on the opposite side. She had been bending low over the sweets and pastries on display at a coffee stall, and now she turned away. A billowing black cloud followed by a small girl and an even smaller boy, both clutching paper bags into which they dipped sugar-coated fingers. Stanton realized, to his surprise, that he was crying. Tears that had been prickling behind his eyes for months were all of a sudden glistening on his cheeks. Those children were so very like his own. Different colouring and clothing, of course, but in scale and attitude they could have been his Tess and Bill. Even the way the little girl put her hand on her brother's shoulder to restrain him at the curb, so proud of being the older and the wiser of the two. That was exactly what Tess would have done. Probably all big sisters were like that. Angrily, he wiped a sleeve across his cheek. He didn't believe in self-pity. Not under any circumstances. Just then, the peace of the morning was disturbed by the throaty roar of an engine as onto the bridge from the northern side skidded an overloaded, open-topped tourer. Stanton recognised the model. A Crossley 2025. Cars were a passion for him, and he knew every British type ever built.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?